This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
All right. Man, I'm super pumped to be here. Man, I love me some West Texas. We went to lunch today, and I've never seen more pickup trucks in my entire life. It feels like a sin to be in West Texas and not own a pickup truck, it seems like. I don't know. I didn't understand it. You know, it's funny. I was telling Pastor this, that, you know, I grew up in Michigan, and no one had a pickup truck, like maybe like two people. And then, you know, traveling around the country, I used to wonder, like, why would you own a pickup truck if you're not hauling stuff around? And I've realized it's more of a flex, and it's a cool thing to have. So very cool. But, today, we're gonna spend a ton of time here, because the reality is this. I think sometimes we have this feeling like we have to have this, like, God didn't move unless it was 85 and a half minutes longer than expected or whatever. And the reality is this, is like, you don't, and I'll say this 10 times tonight, you don't have to beg God for what God already wants to do. So we're not going to try to, like, you know, conjure up anything. And you know, we're going to get into the message, and I know what you really came here for, and you're like, I just want Ty to have all my money. Good. So we have books. I'm just playing. But so this is a book about Holy Spirit. Talk about this morning. Another one, Better Than Jesus, talking more about miracles and all of that. And then there's one about money stuff too, and we'll have those available after service. But I want to talk to you tonight, starting off, I want to tell you a story about the first time I ever saw somebody get healed when I prayed for them. And so I'm 21 years old. This is too long ago now. Every time I tell this story, it makes me feel older and older. But the reality is I was 21 years old. And so it took me 21 years to see a miracle. And then I was at a church, at my church in Atlanta when we used to live there. And it's a really larger church in a large city. And so there's a service kind of like this, preaching and teaching on healing. Now, I'm sitting in the front row, just there to take notes. I'm not there to preach or teach. I just wanted to learn and grow like all of us today. And I was there, excited. And at the end of the service, and it's going to be a little bit differently, but in this capacity, we had like probably 10 different prayer leaders at the front, or 15 at most. And they kind of stood in the front, and then a line of people would go in front of them if they needed prayer for healing. And I was like, this is very exciting. I can't wait to watch this. It's going to be really cool. Now, people had heard about what was going on, about, you know, the healing stuff, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people who came, and apparently all of them needed prayer. And so what ended up happening, I'm sitting in the front row, and I'm watching, this is real, every one of like the 10, 15 people had a line going from them out back to the back door and started to wrap around the outdoor of the church. And I remember thinking to myself, this is going to take forever. And I remember honestly thinking, as I was looking around to the people kind of beside me, behind me, I was like, man, if these lazy Christians would just stand up, this would get done so much quicker. Granted, to note, I was also sitting down not praying for others. And I was like, this is crazy. But if I'm honest, I didn't feel spiritual enough or good enough or just whatever enough. But then all of a sudden, as I'm watching people, you know, pray for one another, kind of seeing these kind of cool moves of God, I had this nudge from Holy Spirit, you know, as a kind of a nudge in the right direction to hear his voice. And I felt Holy Spirit speak to me personally, not as a preacher or a pastor, just as a person. And I felt Holy Spirit said, hey, I want you to go and pray for some people. And I was like, no, thank you. Because in my head, I had already doomed it. I was like, this is not going to work. I'd prayed for people before. It didn't work. So how is this going to be any different? And I wanted to do this the right way, to be under a covering. This is why I have a pastor. Man, this is why I love you. You have a pastor here. Pastors all over the place, apparently, which is awesome. And I love that. Like, for real, genuinely, though, like I love my pastors. I have pastors and people and coaches and all the things. Because, man, the reality is, man, people help you. People help me be smart and guide. Now, the reality is this. People can help you, but only Jesus can heal you. But I still want to be covered. I want something good. So I go to my pastor, and man, I don't know about the pastors who are here, but I was ready for the greatest spiritual pep talk of my life. You know, I bet, Pastor, you'd give it to me. It'd be great. It's kind of your job. It's great. But I was like, hey, I'm nervous. So go to my pastor. I say, hey, I think God's telling me to pray for some of these people, but I'm kind of nervous about this. Like, would it be okay if I prayed for people? And I was ready for the most spiritual pep talk of my life. I was like, this is the moment. I'm going to be like shaken by this. I'm going to be crying and weeping by the prophetic word I'm going to be given. Instead, this is what my pastor said. She said this. She said, yeah, you can pray for somebody. We'll take anyone at this point. Which didn't make me feel super great. But honestly, it was total chaos. There are hundreds of people waiting to get prayed for, only 15 or so people to pray for people, and some of them take a really long time to pray for people. I'm pretty short-winded in prayer, but some people, it's like going through the whole life story of theirs and theirs to pray for one thing. It's kind of silly, but whatever. And so I go to the very front middle, and within seconds, I have dozens of people in front of me to pray for. And I was like, this is my moment. Like, this is when God's going to show up. This is when my healing ministry starts. It's going to be great. And I pray for the first person. It doesn't go super great. They feel the same. And I'm like, fine, I'm warming up, clearly. It must take a couple people to get into this. And so pray for another person. It's not going good. And then by the, I don't know, eighth person, I'm getting a little discouraged. And if I'm really honest, if I can be vulnerable, if that's okay with you, every person I prayed for that wasn't healed validated a lie I believed about myself that said this, that I'm not enough for this. I'm not gold enough, spiritual enough, anointed enough, favored enough, loved enough by God. I don't know what it was, but I certainly didn't feel enough. And you know, it's kind of this funny thing because I don't know if you've ever been grocery shopping and you kind of hunt down the best checkout aisle and then you get in that checkout aisle and somehow things change. And then you have the most incompetent employee apparently doing it the slowest way possible as they scan. And then you leave that. So I found out pretty quickly I was the bad checkout lane. So this is real. I'm praying for people with my eyes open because people are crazy sometimes. And I see the people in the line. And this is so real. People start, I don't know how the word got out, but people start leaving my line to go to other, catch this, longer lines. I can see it's like waiting for the better ride at the amusement park. And they're like, I don't want to do this. And honestly, as I see them leaving, I'm like, yeah, even they know. Even they know I don't got what it takes. And again, meanwhile, while my line is leaving me, the other lines are growing from my line. You're welcome. But also, they're seeing the craziest things ever. People are leaving crutches at the altar. People are hearing for the first time. Man, like blind eyes are getting better. You know, so many crazy miracles. And so then I'm like, man, like this is not going well. And I convinced myself that after I'll pray for one more person and then I'm done. And I don't just mean for the day. I mean forever. Because I was like, I'm clearly not born for this. And so I'll pray for one more person, then I'm out. This lady kind of walks up to me, or rather, she limps up to me. She's in her like mid-40s, and she ends up telling me that she had an issue, like a birth defect, actually, with her left hip. And for her entire lifetime, she has been unable to walk, run, or jump without severe pain in her body for her entire life. And all I could think was, you chose the wrong line. I was like this is not it. Like, this is not good. And I was frustrated already, honestly. And I start to pray for her. Nothing works. So I get this really great idea. I'm going to pray like the people around me because it's working for them. So the guy to my left, he's preaching really loudly, really passionately, like about preaching it, oh, praying for him. I don't know what they're doing. But so I start praying really loudly, which scared her to death. So then I stopped that. And then I prayed like the woman to my right who is praying, who's very timid and shy and all of that. And she couldn't hear me. So that was weird too. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I kind of pray to myself in my head. I'm like, God, I can't do this, but I know that you can do this. I pray that you would do what I can't do. And I prayed for her one more time. And the craziest thing happened. Nothing happened, which was really frustrating because like the movie in my head was that I try really hard all these times and the Lord swoops down, makes me look great, and this is amazing. It doesn't happen that way. She does not feel any better. And I remember her looking at me as we're about to kind of part ways. And she's like, well, thanks. And I was like, I don't know what you're thanking me for because this did not go well. And I start to, there's a line in front of me, remind you. I start to walk away from the line. I'm emotionally already in my car. I am tapped out spiritually. This is not for me. So I'm starting to walk this way. She takes a step to her side. And in one step that she makes, I hear this loud popping sound. And she literally stepped into her healing. And all of a sudden, this lady goes from kind of disappointed like me to then she's running and jumping. And I had kind of forgotten about the prayer thing. And I was like, what is this crazy woman doing? Like, is she on something? This is bizarre. And then she runs up to me, gives me the most uncomfortable hug of my life. Like, way too tight for way too long. When the Lord heals you tonight, just glory to him, not to me. Okay, and so she hugs me, and then she says, like, thank you so much. You have so much faith. Man, God's using you so mightily. And I was like, you have no idea, because I was physically already checking out. I was already leaving. And then she had this crazy moment, and then I was like, I'll stick around. Okay, I'll see what else happens. And then the night progressed for a couple more hours, and in that one night, I saw dozens of people get healed. And that was, man, 12 years ago or something like that. And in those last 12 years, I've seen tens of thousands of people get healed, not because I'm awesome, but because the Spirit of God who's in me is in Jesus, is in you, and Jesus loves to heal the sick. He loves to do it, so much so. Almost everywhere he goes in his ministry, people were healed whether they wanted it or not, and I think it's awesome. I love that the Apostle Peter, by the end of his life, he's walking in the streets, and his very shadow is touching people, and they're healed without him having to even do it. And my prayer is this, is that it feels like that even tonight and forever in your life, that you're not trying to work for the miracle, but the miracles are working for you because Jesus is in you and resides in you. And the thing is like this, though. I get it, because I hear this a lot, that people can come into services like this, watch online, with some, maybe call it baggage of the past. And I hear it like this, or I'll pray for people, and they'll say, well, I've been sick for a long time, but I think God's just trying to teach me something through this. I think, number one, I think that God teaches us things all of the time, but I don't think God pushes us down in order for getting the credit for picking us back up in that healing process. God is a healer, not a harmer, for sure. And I want, if you have your Bible, say, oh, yes, I do. Okay, a couple of you. Cool. Pastor, oh, I didn't hear you, Todd, but it's fine. Okay, but I'm just playing. Matthew 10, verse 8, Jesus says this. Matthew 10, verse 8, I think we'll have it on the screen. Jesus says this, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Let's pause. Look to the person next to you. Say, get out. Okay, we're good. Okay, I was worried about some of you. Okay, drive out demons. That was a close one in West Texas. Freely you have received, so freely give. I love that Jesus says this, because Jesus is not just talking to disciples then. He's talking to believers even now through this word. And man, Jesus says to heal the sick. Anything you see Jesus say or do is a representation of God the Father. And so Jesus isn't going to tell you to heal the people that God the Father made sick. That would be a contradiction of God's character. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. And the reality is this, is that God is a healer, not a harmer. And I love this, is that God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you. Man, God wants to heal you. Psalm 103, 2 through 3 says this. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all of your sins, and he heals all of your diseases. Somebody say all? Sweet, awesome. All of them. And I think some of us, we can come into a service like this tonight, or we say, well, yeah, I know God heals all of it, but there are certain, you know, differences of sicknesses, like some are worse or harder to pray for. And the reality is this, every sickness is the same to Jesus. Whether you come in with a canker sore or cancer, it's all the same to Jesus. I've seen the Lord heal it. A bunch of pastors have seen it healed. Other people have seen it healed. Like, the reality is this. When you measure the sickness, you get measured results. And there's no need for us to do that. So even tonight, we're not going to make a sickness higher than another sickness. Like, my typical rule of thumb, and if you break it, it's fine. We'll just tell you to leave the church and never come back. But is this, I'm just playing. But is we're going to pray one-on-one for people, a lot of it. I like to pray one-on-one because we don't have to have 20 people come around the sickest person in the room. Because if I'm honest, what ends up happening in those situations is we glorify the sickness higher than Jesus. And we say, oh, this sickness, it needs Jesus to do a lot bigger, as if more of us make any difference anyways. Because I don't know about you, I've never healed anybody, but Jesus is the one who does it every single time. He just uses us in that way. And so what I love this, though, is that, man, we see that God wants to heal us, all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, and all of that way. In this passage, it reminds me of the first 7 years of my marriage. I've been married for 10 years. And in the first 7 years, I was in a beautiful season of marriage. And I call this season the sugar mama season. Praise Jesus. So for the first 7 years, my wife made more money than me. And it was the greatest thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. Do it again, Lord, honestly. Okay, it's cool now. Now she's been a full-time mom for a while, so she went from sugar mama to just mama, and I'm cool with it all. It's fine. But here's the thing. I remember back my wife, she had like real jobs, unlike whatever I do, and my wife would get these job offers all of the time. And from job to job, they would offer her often two different things, a salary and benefits. I have friends, they have a job just for the benefits. Maybe some of you have that. And here's what I love, though, about this passage, is that we don't just get the salary of our salvation. We also become benefactors of God's benefits, that he heals every issue we have. I think it's crazy that not only does, like we talked about last week on Easter, that Jesus died and rose again for our sins, but he also was beaten and all of that for our sickness and healing on the inside and outside as well. And let me just say it really quickly like this. Tonight, when we pray for one another, if you have an external issue physically, we're going to pray for you. If you have an inner issue, we will also totally pray for you. I'm a pretty big believer on this, is that anxiety and depression and mental illness is just as real to Jesus as a broken leg. We see Jesus heal all sorts of things all of the time. So there's no shame in any of it. I've dealt with anxiety, depression, all of the things. You're in a good club. If you're a part of it, it's all good. But the reality is this, is Jesus wants to heal you. Secondly is this, is Jesus wants you to heal others. He wants you to heal people. James 5:14 says this, "Is any sick among you? Let him call to the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith," someone to say faith, faith. Yeah, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. "Is any sick among you? Let him call to the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick." It seems to me, when you read the Bible and look at it and experience it for yourselves, that the more faith you have, the more miracles end up happening. These coincidences just seem to happen more and more the more faith I have and more faith people have in the Bible. And I think it's interesting that Jesus sees this and experiences this, and he even says it a lot too. And if you're someone who likes numbers, there's two numbers I want you to think of. It's 12 and 19. It's 12 and 19. Is this, there are 19 times in the Bible where Jesus prays on a one-to-one basis for someone to get healed. 19 times. They're healed every single time, because that's how Jesus is. But 12 out of 19, which is technically a majority of the time, it's over 50% of times, Jesus ends the healing moment by saying this phrase, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. So the majority of time of Jesus's one-to-one prayer ministry, I mean, it says that their faith had a lot or even more to do with it sometimes. Obviously, it's faith in Jesus. But I believe this, is that, man, faith for healing is amazing, because faith is like the currency of the miraculous. The more I have, the more things I end up seeing. So the question is this, well, how do we grow in this kind of faith? And as we talked about Holy Spirit this morning, Holy Spirit gives us faith in two areas, and then we'll kind of pray tonight. And the first area that Holy Spirit gives us these is in fruits of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us fruit, the faithfulness. He grows it in us, both in the fruits of Holy Spirit and the gifts of Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting. There are 9 gifts of Holy Spirit, 9 fruits of Holy Spirit, and there is one that is synonymous, and that is faithfulness. That's faithfulness. And there's fruits and gifts of it. We'll start with the gifts. So a gift of faith is this, is where God will kind of give you his faith to borrow from and lean on, and it kind of comes out of nowhere, where you'll kind of just be doing something, maybe even tonight, where you'll have more faith for something than ever before, and you'll be like, I don't know why I'm believing for this, but it's because you are believing how Holy Spirit is believing, because he's already seen these things before. And so the reality is this, is that I think it grows over time, like other kind of, all these things, all these gifts. And we give them in a moment. And I think that'll happen for a majority of us tonight. Is that as we pray tonight, in just a couple minutes, is that you'll see someone come up to the front who needs prayer, and you can pray for them. Spoiler tonight, me and my pastor friends are not the only ones who can pray for people. We all can participate in prayer tonight. And if you say, hey, like Ty, like praying for people makes me uncomfortable. I don't like doing that. My lovingly wisdom for you is this. Get over yourself, okay? Because the reality is this. The only reason why you're ever nervous to pray for others is because you think it has anything to do with you. But it doesn't. It has everything to do with Jesus. It's like going to the grocery store and Jesus is saying, here's my credit card. You can buy whatever you want to sustain you and fill you up and all the good things. So gift of faith is given to us in a moment. And then there's a fruit of faithfulness that grows over time. So I was born and raised in Midland, Michigan. And actually, that's really funny. I was born and raised in Midland, Michigan. And I'm now in Midland, Texas, which is very fun. And I rode the bus as a kid. School bus kids? Any bus kids? Yeah, awesome. Builds character. It's great. For all of the rest of you who were really loved by your parents, whatever. But here's the thing. I wasn't. So I'd go out to the bus stop every morning in the great darkness. The bus stop for my family was our driveway with no streetlights. We lived out in the country. It was terrifying. So every morning, any noise I heard was one of two things. It was either a bear or a demon, obviously, because that's how that works. Not really. But I would get so nervous all the time. But man, but across the street from me was this really small farm, and I would get such relief when I would see the farmer attending to his crops because I just didn't feel so alone. But what's funny is this. I never saw him go out to his crops and see what was going on. I never saw him do this. He never went out there and said, crops, grow, please. Maybe he did. I don't know. I didn't see it. But that would never work. But yet so many of us, with the fruits of Holy Spirit, we assume that they grow in that same way, as if we pray them into existence. But rather, the fruits of Holy Spirit grow through moments in our lives, through different seconds and seasons of our life. And so, man, I believe this. I believe that tonight is a really great night to grow in the faithfulness of God and see God do really cool things. Because over time, we see God do stuff. So a made-up example would be this. Let's say tonight we're praying for people. I'll pray for a couple of you. And let's say someone comes up to me and you are completely blind. I don't think you are, but maybe you are. That's fine. We've seen God heal it. No big deal. I'd say, I pray for you. You're healed. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Then a second person tonight comes up to me. You're also completely blind. I pray for you. You're healed. Praise Jesus. Awesome. Then a third person tonight comes up to me. You're also blind. At which point I would say, let's stop drinking the water in West Texas. This is weird. This is too many. But then I pray for you. You're healed. Praise Jesus. Awesome. Here's the question I want you to think about. If this is a true story, which it could be, if I was going to pray like this, who do you think I would have more faith for when praying for them? The first, the second, or the third person? And the reality is this. I'm going to have more faith for the third person because I've already seen God do this two other times. The reality is this. The more I pray for people, both in churches and on the street, in Walmarts like this morning, is being, the more I pray for people, the more faith I have to pray for people. I think the reason why a lot of us feel uncomfortable for praying for people is because you have yet to see the benefits of praying for people. And so tonight we're going to pray for one another. And I love this because Jesus wants to grow in our faith. And if you don't have a lot, you can borrow some of mine. If you need to watch me or somebody pray for somebody, that's totally okay because people do that sometimes. And the question might be this, how much faith do I need to pray for somebody or to receive prayer? And I want to kind of illustrate this with one last story, then we're going to pray. Is the first time I ever did a service like this. I was in a beautiful place called Mobile, Alabama. Okay? I don't know if anyone's ever been to Mobile, Alabama. Raise your hand if you have. Anybody? Okay, you've all preached at that church. Praise God. Cool. So I was there. I was with my wife. Before we had kids, my wife would travel with me a lot. And she sees the craziest miracles ever. This is a real thing we do in a very tongue-in-cheek, loving, kind, healthy way. That when my wife and I do services together, I'll take one half of the room and she'll take the other half. And we will kind of jokingly, but kind of really do these like healing competitions where we see who sees the coolest thing? Pastor, I already got the microphone. It's too late. You can't take it back. But no, I'm just like, but the reality is, and not in a weird way, we kind of do it as a way to glorify God. And what it really is we say at the end of the night, what's the coolest thing that you saw? Now, the truth is, every time, I don't know, God's just trying to humble me, but I'd say, oh, it was really cool. Someone like ankle feels a little bit better. And all the time, Rebecca would be like, oh, it's really crazy. I saw someone like see for the first time out of their eye or something. Like she wins every time. Now, for the record, she's not here. So you'll just deal with me and pastors tonight, but it's fine. But the reality is this. So we were seeing a lot of miracles in Alabama. And I remember I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is so much fun seeing God move. But then I saw somebody sitting where pastor is sitting in that church. And he looked really mad at me. The face he was making at me was one I'd seen before, typically from ex-girlfriends, where it looked like a face that said, y'all's laugh is rude already. You don't even know what I was going to say, but it's fine. But he looked like he wanted to hit me, okay? He looked like he wanted to hit me, and I was like, mental note, I'm going to avoid him because he looks angry. So I said to my wife, maybe you should switch sides, you know? I'm just kidding. But so over time, I'm praying, we're seeing miracles. It's really cool. And then I feel this nudge from Holy Spirit saying, hey, I want you to pray for somebody. And I remember saying, I'll pray for almost anybody here tonight. And then the Lord, yeah, take a guess who you wanted me to pray for. And I felt the Lord's like, hey, I want you to pray for the guy who wants to hit you. And I was like, oh, so you agree. He wants to hit me. It's fine. But so I go up to the guy, and really practically, this is how we always pray, is I go up to the guy, I say, hey, man, I'll be honest, you don't look like you're super pumped to be here. And we're telling really cool stories. Like, is there anything I could be praying for you for? Like, what do you believe in God for tonight? And he kind of rolls his eyes and he's like, oh man, like everyone knows about my problem. I reminded him I'm not from here. I'm not from out of town. And I was like, hey, I'm like, as I'm talking to him, I'm like, hey, I have this weird feeling. And this would be called like a word of knowledge where God gives us information about somebody to bring them closer to Jesus. I talk about this in both my books of Holy Spirit. But as I say, hey man, this might be really crazy, but I have a feeling like the lower part of your back has been hurting for a long time. Does that mean anything to you? And he kind of rolls his eyes again. He's like, dude, I told you, everybody knows my problem. Like, and I was like, I don't know you. And he's like, yeah, I have back pain because of this. And he's sitting down and he puts out both of his legs. And I can see what the problem was, is that one of his legs was 6 inches shorter than the other leg. So he had to wear special shoes and he's been walking, for a lack of better words, he'd been walking like lopsided all of his life and he'd been causing severe pain. And now I'll be honest, Pastor, I had never read about this in the Bible. So I was like, I don't know if Jesus can do this. I was like, I don't know. Like, this is the new one for me. And so I was nervous, genuinely. And so I put my hand on his shoulder to pray for him. But I remember looking the other way because I was just nervous, if I'm really honest. Now, at the same time, there were 3 people who were watching me pray for people. And some people just need to see stuff to believe it. You know, the Bible says, great is those who do not see and believe. But man, wherever you are at in your journey, we're cool with tonight. If you need to watch it happen, you want to pray for it happen, whatever. And so there's 3 people like watching just kind of near me. I look away from him. I pray just like this. I say, Jesus, I pray that you would. And before I can even continue my prayer, the 3 people who are looking at him make this same noise, all 3 at the same time. They said this. They went like this. And all I could think was, oh my gosh, his leg is gone. I was like, I don't know. Like, did I pray it wrong? I did. Like, I don't know. Get sucked back in. I have no idea. Like, I'm new at this. I don't know. And I took a couple steps back, and I realized why they had freaked out. It's because before their very eyes, they literally saw his leg grow out 6 inches. And there's 2 things I want to say before we pray for each other. Is this? There's a funny one and a serious one. We'll start with the funny one. And it's also real though. I love that God answers prayers we don't even fully pray. Because I said, God, I pray that you would. I didn't even say the whole thing. But I'm going to say this. I'm just going to say it, Pastor. I'm really glad that God made the one leg longer and not the other leg shorter. Because like technically, he would have been healed. Because it would have been even. But I mean, imagine walking in tonight like this and leaving like this. Like, his dating life would have been gone. Like, for real. Like, he would have been like single for, but I'm just playing. But for like in a joking way, but really, I love that I don't have to have it all together for the Lord to do what he wants to do altogether. And the more serious thing is this, is one of the greatest regrets of my spiritual journey is, man, I wish I would have watched it happen. Because I didn't intentionally looked away. their faith grew, and mine did, of course, a little bit. But my faith, even tonight, man, 10 years later, would be a little bit greater for you if I would have watched what happened for him. And so I want to encourage us tonight, when we pray for one another, ourselves, or each other, is to, if you're going to be all in, be all in. If you're going to have faith, you might as well risk it all for Jesus and just pray the real prayers you want to pray. And here's how we're going to pray tonight. If prayer is new for you, but I think it's healthy to have kind of some rules of how we're going to pray for each other is this, is when people come up here in a moment, if they need prayer for anything physical, emotional, whatever, is we'll ask them, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? If they say no, leave them alone, okay? You can pray from a distance, totally fine. And the second thing is this, I think this is a really beautiful question to ask people, is this, is what are you believing God for tonight? What are you believing God for? I think a lot of times in these moments, we get kind of stuck on this idea of like, hey, what are you sick with? What's your issue? What a rude thing to ask somebody. Hey, what's your illness? You know, but it's like, hey, like, what are you believing God for? And what that does here and in public is this, is it builds my faith and it builds yours, because we're saying of what God's about to do rather than the thing I haven't seen him do yet. And let me just say like this too. If you've prayed for people and you haven't seen him get better, or you've prayed for you and you haven't gotten better, let me just say it really clearly. Just because God didn't, doesn't mean God doesn't. Just because God didn't, doesn't mean God doesn't. And so I'm going to go in not basing my future off of my past. That's the opposite of the gospel. I'm going to go based on the word of God that says that Jesus loves to heal the sick. So we're going to pray for one another for a good couple minutes. And we can turn on some chill music so that things aren't super weird or awkward. Is we're going to pray for a few minutes. We might be here for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But when we pray for each other, I want to remind you, you don't have to beg God to do what he already wants to do. I don't think we're honestly going to be here for all that long, because I don't think it takes that long. Like, I'll pray for a long time if it takes a long time. And there's different moments and different seasons. But man, I believe tonight, man, that the Lord wants to do unique healings in all of us. Whether it's your marriage, your body, your spirit, emotions, I believe the Lord wants to heal, because he loves to do it. So I'll pray, but we can all pray for one another. And so I want to kind of pray us into this. And then when I pray amen, I want us to kind of in a second, and actually we can do this now. If you're physically able to, can we all stand to our feet if you're physically able to? And I want to pray us into this. And when I say amen, I just want to kind of get us ready for this. But when I say amen, if you're here and no shame, no issue, like, I'll take healing from somebody. I fell off a motorcycle a week ago today, and it's taking a long time to heal. I'm like, I'll take all the prayer I can get in this life. And so, like, no shame, no guilt. If you need prayer for anything emotional, physical, whatever, welcome to being a human. But when I pray, man, you can kind of come forward, and I want to encourage you to first pray for yourself, and then let people pray for you, and you pray for others, and you've totally got this. So I'm going to pray over you, and then we'll pray in the front. But Jesus, I pray this. I mean, the word in my head as I'm praying even right now is this, is I pray that the word that so many of you would experience tonight is this word of surprise. I pray that the Lord would surprise you in both how he heals you, how he touches you, and how he uses you. Man, I pray, man, even if there's not that many people who need a thing, I'll be honest, I need a thing, so we can have the whole church pray for me for all I care. But Jesus, I pray that you would use my friends who have never seen you move. And I pray that tonight would almost be like you taking the training wheels off a little bit. Like, Lord, I pray that you would do something awesome. I pray that backs would get healed tonight. Man, if you got scoliosis, I pray that you'd get healed. Man, if you have like eyesight that's getting dimmer and dimmer, I pray you get healed tonight. If you have ears that are getting deaf and the volume is getting lower, I pray tonight it would get louder. And Jesus, I pray that we would not idolize anything or any person here, but Jesus, you would get all the glory for what you're about to do. And so if you're here and you say, hey, I just want someone to join me in faith. So I don't want to do this alone. I want to do this with somebody. I want someone to pray with me for anything physical, emotional, family, spiritual, the Lord wants to heal. So if that's you, as we're still praying, and we can keep praying, but if that's you and you'd like someone to pray with you, and I would love to pray for you, I would encourage you even right now to step out of your seat in the name of Jesus. Amen.